Where did they go and what did they say and what's going on with them? And how could they be deceived? But I'm going to tell you guys, you ain't seen nothing yet. This thing is getting...
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed.
Serious.
I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has
been
made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still.
I'm just...
My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, tight walking, small planes, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals.
I
no longer need preeminent positions, promotion,
applause,
or popularity.
I
don't have to be right first, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by faith, I am lifted by prayer.
I can get that for you, Roger.
My faith is set, my greatest path, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My
command
off you, my God, reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or betrayed. I will not put in the face of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Things happen in those small rooms. I remember a vision I saw once. I won't tell all of it tonight.
All right, so that's what I'm looking for. Everybody just pause a minute. I want him to tell this vision. I want everybody to hear this. Everybody just pause.
Property and hold hands with a circle of preachers and Brother Heaven and claim that property and called it into the ministry. Things happen in those small rooms. I remember a vision I saw once. I won't tell all of it tonight. But I remember a vision I saw once of two clouds. I sat on it for a long time. And then the Lord said, not now, not now. And a few years ago, the Lord said, go ahead and start sharing that. And it was that vision I saw of the dark cloud and the glory cloud, and both of them coming upon the earth at the same time. How many of you have heard that, me tell that vision? Well, that was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was one of the speakers at a Holy Ghost type camp meeting thing that was going on. And Vicki and I had just flown in from Paris, France, and you missionaries know what that can do to you. And I preached that night. I got in just in time to do my service. And then we decided to stay over to hear Dr. Hagin. He was always one of my favorites. And so I said, Vicki, you know, we don't ever just get to go to church and relax and listen. We're always working. And I like what I do. But sometimes it's good just to sit and say, okay, well, talk to me, Lord. So I said, let's just stay over. It was Thursday night. Let's just stay over to Friday night and listen to Brother Hagin. So we did. And he got up to speak and stepped out into the Spirit as he would do and just started speaking in tongues. You could see the bewildered look on his face after a few seconds because I honestly think he was trying to speak in English. But every time he spoke, it come out in tongues. And he'd speak a minute, then he'd stop. And then he'd speak a minute, come out in tongues. Well, as he was praying in tongues, I got caught up in the Spirit. Later on, Dr. Hagin told me it was a trance. Mm-hmm. You can't fake a trance. Go ahead and try. You can fake a prophecy, but you can't fake no trance. And by the way, don't ask for one. Because if you ever do get a true one, you're going to be responsible to tell what you saw in there. Anyways, I got caught up in the Spirit, in the trance. And I saw this vision of this, shortening it now, this horrible dark cloud just taking over the earth and just sucking people into it. And Then all of a sudden I came out of the spirit. He was still praying in tongues, only now he's weeping and praying in tongues. And before I could turn to Vicky and kind of tell her what happened, I got caught back up in the spirit. And I saw a big cloud, a glory cloud, and et cetera. And I come back out of the spirit. Brother Hagin's still speaking in tongues and finally walks off the platform and goes in the back. So I said, well, Vicky said, are you all right? I said, I'm not sure yet. I'll tell you in a little bit. We're on the front row. We're speakers. And that dark cloud, when I asked the Lord about it, that dark cloud is the gross darkness. The darkness has come upon the earth and gross darkness upon the people. And the other cloud is that glory cloud promised by God. But what was weird about it is that they were coming on the earth at the same time. And God said to me, there are people that won't be able to resist the darkness. It'll just suck them in like a great vacuum. They'll fight and scrap. And if you don't know about the content of that vision, I'm sure we got it recorded here on something somewhere. And the glory cloud, the Lord said, you tell my people to run to the glory. The dark cloud will suck them in. But I'm not doing that, the Lord said. You got to run to me. Well, I came out of the spirit. Brother Hagin's weeping now. And once in a while, in English, he'd say, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 my God, no, in praying tongue. And he walked off, went in the back. The host got up and said, well, I guess that's it for tonight. And he dismissed everybody. We went in the back. I said, Vicky, what did he preach on? He said he didn't. He only prayed in tongues like 15 minutes and left. That was it. That's the meeting. So I'm in the little back room in the back. The little back room in the back is more potent than what most people think. So I am a speaker, so they ushered me and Vicky back there. And I went back there. The Copelands were there. There are dear friends, Kenneth and Gloria. They were there. They were another one of the speakers. I guess they stayed around also to listen to Brother Hagin. I can't remember who all back there. Ed Dufresne, one of my earlier preaching buddies, he was back there and Nancy and whatever, and Brother Hagin was there. Well, I'm raised by the Marine Corps. You don't just walk in and start talking to the four-star general. You walk in, you see him, and you step to the side and get out of his way and mind your own business. Try not to break anything. So I just, others came in, and Vicky and I just said, scoot up. And I hadn't told anybody, including Vicky, yet. And Brother Hagin worked his way right over and stood right here like this by me. And he elbowed me once. He said, you know that vision you saw? Thinking, how does he know I saw a vision? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's the same vision Isaiah saw. Why would you be so privileged that you saw it? I said, you saw what I saw? Son, that dark cloud is going to manifest so fierce that most of the body of Christ won't repel it. They'll live dirty, filthy lives and probably miss out on heaven. Many, many, many of them. And he's got, Brother Hagin had tears here. And I said, I don't even know what to say about that, Dr. Hagin. And he said, that glory cloud you saw is what God showed Isaiah. I don't know why you're privileged to have him show it to you, but that was what God showed the prophet of old. I guess he has showed the prophet of new. Well, I feel I ain't no prophet. I'm wondering what I'm doing in the room. I said, I wanted to ask him, how do you know? So I said, sir, if I could have permission to speak, to ask you a question. I didn't get it out. And he said, you don't have to ask me. I was in there with you. I'm a spiritual guy, and that spooked me out a little bit. Now, you carnal Christians listening to me, just go home. We lost you already. You don't have to be carnal, but a lot of people are just natural. I never heard of such a thing. I said, I know my mouth dropped open. And I said, Pardon me, sir? He said, I was in that visit. That was a trance, son. You got caught up in it. He said, I got caught up in it. I don't even know what I preached out there. His Mrs. Hagen said, you didn't preach, honey. You just spoke in tongues. Oh. He said, now the day will come to me. He said, now the day is going to come. You'll be demanded, you'll be commanded by God to share that with everybody. And nobody's going to celebrate you. It won't be a celebration story, but you're going to be forced to tell it. Well, that was a long time ago. But I'm going to tell you, what happened in that little room, it's a smaller room than mine. It's half the size of our little room over here. And man, that has never, ever, ever, never, never left me. Being in that little room and having such a great prophet of stature and proven. But more than just being in there with him, which was important to me. It was important to me. But what he said to me marked my ministry. He probably knew it. I always say he might not have known it. He marked my ministry, Terry. That was, that's probably like 1982, 92, 2002, 2012, 2018. I'm still carrying that assignment. And just now, over this last 4 or 5 years, do I have permission to really tell the body of Christ about that vision and remind them to go study Isaiah and protect yourself from this dark cloud that now is just consuming even our pulpits. I'm lost. I don't know why preachers think it's cool to cuss. I got saved, man. But that Brother Hagen probably did all that, and Lord, I don't know, 2 minutes. Think about it. 2 minutes in a small room with a great general of the faith, marked life, now going on over 3 decades. Actually, forever, that's correct. Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm sure that that's probably created a lot of questions and a lot of, so we've been talking the last, I don't know, seven nights, seven times we did the program. We've been talking about adding to our faith and, our faith is going to become the most powerful weapon and the most valuable weapon that we have. And it's going to be the most important force of your life to grow, to develop, and to be established in. And all of this religiosity and religionism and churchiosity and Christianese that is not truly a believer, it's going to be tried, tested, and it's going to be seen immediately for what it actually is. Because God starts his shaking in the house of the Lord. And I saw it last night. I've seen it for the last week now. That it's of absolute importance that you and I just settle it in our spirit that the number one factor of every day is, am I building my faith some way, somehow today? And then no matter what happens, no matter what comes, we give ourselves to that factor. I'm not at liberty right now to tell you what I've been witnessing today. But in the near future, I'll tell you about it as the Holy Spirit gives me permission. I'm not in any way trying to be an alarmist or a hellfire and brimstone person at all, in any sense of the word, never will be. And I will never be condemning to you, ever. I want you to know God. I want you to know who God is. I want you to know. I just want you to know. I want you to, well, let me just say it right. I want you to know God. I just want you to know God. I want you to have that relationship with God Almighty in your life. Phyllis, did you just call me?
I was listening. I wasn't messing up nothing.
No, you're not messing nothing up. Because I have a caller on Blog Talk Radio from Lake Charles.
That's about 3 hours away from where I live,
man. Well, maybe you had your phone from down there. You never know.
I have some nieces and family that lives over there, but I haven't talked to them for a couple of weeks.
All right. Well, let's talk to this caller. Just see what we got going. Evening caller, this is Community of Faith, and we're getting ready to start our program talking about faith. What kind of question you have about faith tonight?
Hello, God bless you. My name is Howard. How are you?
Doing good.
I wanted to talk about something. I'm glad I'm religious, and I'm glad this is finally happening, that maybe in the coming month there will be a reversal of some of the decisions people can make about the abortion. I think it's so sad what has been going on. And I'm so happy to see some kind of change at the High Court for this. Really, it's a blessing.
Amen. We are too. And we pray for it every day in our program right here for God to bring revival to the executive branch, revival to the judicial branch, and revival to the legislative branch of our government. And
yes,
thank you for bringing
it
up.
Know,
and well, but we can't talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about faith tonight because that's our subject and that's our assignment. And we're glad to have you join with us. And join us on that subject, which is what this program is about. There's a lot of programs. If what you're wanting to do is talk only about abortion, then you'll probably have to find another one, because I have an assignment tonight to teach on faith and the black cloud that is out there. I have I am very, very focused on the will and plan of God in our life. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 60, and I want to read these verses because our study we've been having the last couple of nights has been about adding to your faith, adding to your faith. And what am I going to add to my faith, Pastor? Well, you're going to add all kinds of things to your faith. By the time we get finished and are all heading into heaven, you and I are going to have to add to our faith many different levels of our Christian life. And we're going to talk about some of those tonight. And then, as we always do, we read the stories of people who have walked with God all through the Bible. And the Apostle Paul wrote, all these things were done as an example to us, that we would not do what others have done, but that we would walk with God. Brother Dan, Sister Felicia, Brother Roger, Sister Phyllis, Sister Sunday, welcome, guys. Audrey Van Gessel, we welcome you. Good to have you with us. Let me go over here and see who else. Donna Howie Schubeck, Rebecca Smith. Welcome, guys. It's good to have you with us here tonight.
Getting that word out, and how many people are in Ohio?
Let's just get this all caught up. There we go. Now, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1. And we're going to go down to verse 5. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. Somebody shout, I love the word. I love the word. Zoomers?
I love the word.
Amen.
I adore the word.
Yeah, amen. Amen, fellas. Well, I thought I'd got a few more amens from the Amen Company, but it's okay.
I love the word. I love the word.
Amen. Amen. Now, that was Louisiana and Michigan that just checked in. The glory be to God. Now watch. Here we go. Let's read it. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness shall cover the earth. And if there's ever been a time where darkness covered the earth, it is seriously here today. Deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to the brightness of your shining, or your light, and kings to the brightness of your shining. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Now, there's a whole lot in these verses that you and I have got to, we've got to just dig into continually, and then we'll go away and we won't talk about it for a while. And then all of a sudden, God will bring us back to it again, and we'll deal with it again. And then we'll go away, and then we'll come back to it again. And that's how God continually leads us. What is part of the gross darkness of this day? You can choose which gender you want to be. I mean, that's so dark that it is just flat out, straight up wicked. And how can you change you by cutting something off or sewing something on? You didn't change you. You didn't change your mind.
To mess up their hormones.
Say again?
And giving them drugs to mess up their hormones.
Yeah. And see, darkness, that's a severe darkness, and it is covering the whole earth. It's not just in America. It's not just in Europe anymore. It's covering the whole earth. That they would require you and I to prove who we are to get a driver's license. But our children don't need mom and dad's permission or guidance to have a sex change done. That's wickedness. It's vile. That a man can love a man, and we'll all wink and say, isn't that cute? No, it's perverse. A man should love, a woman can be married to a woman and they can be a husband and wife. No, it's perverse. But pastor, don't you love people like that? Let's say it this way. I love people and I want to see everyone come to God. But brothers and sisters, we're not going to help them get to God by agreeing with them and winking at what God calls an abomination. It's not going to happen. And what's amazing about this is that even the mainstream churches are getting, and it's not about homosexuality. It's about that whole secular humanism belief system that says, I am my own God. I don't need anybody else. I don't need God in heaven. I don't need any of that stuff. And oh yeah, they want mom and daddy's insurance information and the credit card. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Very good, Felicia. Now, I want you to see the picture of this because this isn't new to this day. You and I in America are blessed because America's been righteous for so many years, and righteousness exalted our nation that you and I are just now starting to see the debilitating effect of taking prayer out of school, taking the Bibles out of school, and stopping teaching creation, stopping teaching patriotism. We're now seeing the effect of that in all of our society. We have a whole generation of young people who have no respect for authority. They have no respect for love. They have no respect for marriage. They have no respect for God. And I don't hate them. I want to help them. And it's a very severe frustration inside of our lives of trying to help them know who God is when they do not know God at all. Now watch what Jesus said. This is Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. And this is verses 3 down through 44. They have no respect for themselves or life. No, they don't. They have so trained everyone to be sloppy and dirty. Their clothes don't match. Nothing about their lives match. And they've so trained them that that is normal. They look at you and I as something wrong with them. You're not going to hell if you wear a pair of jeans with a cut in it. Or if your shirt and your pants don't match. It's not a heaven and hell thing. What they've done is destabilize the society by teaching everybody to be down, dirty, and nothing. And you, country music has, I'm just dirty white trailer trash. Rap music's filled with, you're a hoe and I'm a hoe and everybody's a ho-ho. Rock and roll music, it's all in there. And it's darkness that has covered the whole earth. I encourage you. I'm very serious about this. I'm very, very serious about this. If you're still listening to secular music, I encourage you to actually stop for a moment and actually listen to the words of the song that they're singing. I mean, get serious with yourself and say, it is time to hear the words that we're actually singing in these songs. Because as a believer, there won't be many of them that you will sing. And you'll begin to see the demonic spirit that's controlled it all. I'm not your God. You listen to whatever you want. I'm not for burning albums. Well, I am for my house, because my house, I went through and cleansed my house, and my house will stay clean from now through eternity. If Jesus shows up here, he won't look at me and say, why do you have sex, drugs, rock and roll, murder, hatred, rape, and all of that right there on that shelf? He won't be able to say that about me. So there's two clouds. There's the dark cloud, and there's the bright cloud. There's holiness, being holy, and there's wickedness and sin. And in the last day, sin's going to be so strong, if you're not running into the glory cloud, that other one's going to suck you in. Now, where did I tell you to go? Verse 3, sat on the Mount of Olives, Matthew 24:3. His disciples came to him and said, tell us, when will the sign of these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming? Look up, Jesus said in verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you. So what's Jesus saying to us? The number one process you and I got to be watching out for in the last days is deception. I'm going to tell you right now, I want to see you and I take what we do here and magnify it around the world. So we've helped 1,000 pastors do exactly what we're doing right here with their people, and then watch God grow it into whatever he wants to grow it into. That's what I want to see happen. Why? Because this gives us the possibility of being very focused in the word and helping people to realize that it's going to take that kind of focus in these last days. Dr. Barclay was just saying it. Richard Jolliffe was saying it, that one of the toughest things in the last days to find is going to be a born-again, spirit-filled, water-baptized, word-believing, demon-chasing man of God, woman of God. Why? Because there's so many churches that say, oh, that's not necessary. Just come in here, and I'll put up with your demon, you put up with mine, and we'll all just live happily ever after, because God loves you, and you love me, and we are a big, great, big family. Well, yeah, God does love you, and God does love me, but guys, when we come to God, we're supposed to get rid of all of that sin and be free from it. Paul said, come out from among them and be separate. Let's keep reading. Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. They will come in the name of Jesus and deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of war. That's where we are. Look at what it says. See that you are not troubled. Why did Jesus say that? Except that people are going to be troubled. That is going to be a very specific process that's going on, is that people will be troubled in this last day. For all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. Remember, our launch verse for today was Isaiah 60. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people of the earth, but the glory of the Lord is going to rise on you and me, and his glory will be seen in us. Why? Because we have received and accepted and embraced the new covenant and are walking in it and living in it every day. Keep reading. Verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Right now, there's 45 earthquakes a day happening on the earth every day. 45 earthquakes a day is happening on the earth right now. It's been a couple weeks since I actually looked at it, but you can go on the U.S. geological, whatever they call it, and see all the places where there's earthquakes and where they've been today. So far today, there's been 32 earthquakes around the world. And it looks like that today there has been, whoops, Oh, come on, just work right. There's been about 8 in the United States of America. You might say, Pastor, I didn't even hear anybody talk about it. Well, it's because that's not news. The news they want you to listen to today is, I'm taking your guns. You've got to give up your guns. You've got to give up your guns. You've got to give up your guns. Because as soon as they think they can get America to give up their guns, if America gives up their guns, Americans give up their guns at the end. Because the rest of the world will fall. Because everybody looks to you and me. I know that you might be like, man, Pastor Warden, what kind of night is this? Well, the kind of night this is I've been dealing all day long with people dealing with this gross darkness that's covering this earth, and it is literally destroying. It is literally destroying. Pause for a minute. I got to drop my shade a little bit more. It's getting so bright that I can't see my page. Now, let's keep reading. I can't get hung up here, even though I'm trying to. Verse 8 says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Well, listen, I'm not teaching a message on sorrow tonight. I'm teaching a message on hope and faith. But we have to see this. It's like Dr. Barclay and Brother Jolliffe said tonight. This is not a drill anymore. This is real. We are down to real life now. This is real. All hands on deck. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Many will be offended and betray one another. The number one sin that's going to take Christians out in the end times is betrayal and offense. I mean, Jesus just said it, not Samuel. So what are you and I going to have to do? We're going to have to forgive immediately and say, wait a minute. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my pastor. You're my, this is my church. This is my ecclesia. This is where I belong, and I will not be offended. I'm going to grow and develop past all of this. They will betray one another and hate one another. False prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He who endures to the end shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Now, go with me back to Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through 39. We will not give up our weapons of protection. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, if you're new to it, you might say, wow, Pastor, this seems a little dark and bleak tonight. Well, I've just heard some severe, this is very interesting. I've heard the greatest word of encouragement you could hear today. And I heard the most angering religiosity that you could hear. Both of them talking to me at the same time. I'm literally, this afternoon, right before the program, I got a guy telling me about the most wicked religious process going on. And I got a guy telling me how God has just blessed his life. And of his own free will, he just picked his Bible up and read it all the way through. And God's transformed his life. Two calls, one day. At the same time, there wasn't calls, actually, it was messaging. And I'm like, wow, the one man is at the top of the world saying, oh, Jesus! And the other guy is being brutally beaten by religion. And it's the perversity of this. Now watch. And then I'm going to the verses on faith, and we're getting out of this. Can I get an amen from the amen corner?
Amen. Faith and hope.
Faith and hope, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And that's true. That's exactly true, Phil. I
these three, but the greatest of these is God's only love. Let me tell you, with faith, hope, and charity, we'll get through it all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Kathy, how are you doing?
Hi.
If you're here, that means I let you in, but I don't remember.
Yes, I'm here.
God bless you. Good to have you. Let's read these verses. Matthew 23:37. Look at this. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing to be gathered. And now your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. Audrey, I'd be glad to give you an example. Am I answering it? If not, type some more words in there. I'd be glad to give you an example. Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing to be gathered by me. See, your house is left desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the day comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I see Brother Dan's with us tonight. Brother Dan, if you have the ability to search up the verse, it's something to the effect of you will miss the day of your visitation. If somebody can look that verse up. Look it up on eSword or look it up on Bible Gateway. Now, I really always want to start in faith and hope and love and excitement and happiness and joy.
1 Peter 2:12.
Say again.
1 Peter 2:12.
1 Peter 2:12. Now the verse I was thinking of, was by Jesus, but that's all right. I'm very interested in what Phyllis found here. 1 Peter 2:12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. What was the reference you gave me?
1 Peter 2:12.
I read the wrong verse. Here we go. Let's read 11 and 12 together. Thank you, Phyllis. Appreciate it. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as an evildoer, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's excellent, Phyllis. That was not the verse I was looking for, but that verse very specifically matches what we're talking about right now tonight.
I'm sorry, I can't get into your head, honey.
It's all right. You did a good job. Thank you. Now, let's look at that verse.
Luke 19:44.
1944?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. 1944. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Felicia. Luke 19:44. I got so many pages open, I'm running out of fingers, so I've got to start putting in the checkbook and the... All right, so I'm still in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Paul, or Peter says, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Now, I'm not telling you to quit eating ice cream. I'm just telling you, eat ice cream in moderation. Don't eat the whole gallon, just eat a pint. Most of all, that's not what Peter was talking about. I'm like Roger, I'm going to make a funny note. All right, ready? Well, look at verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Now this word Gentiles here doesn't mean just non-Jews. It also means those who are outside in the world who are sinners. Why? That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of your visitation. That means when they look at you, they'll be able to see Christ. Your language will be honorable and blessed. Your lifestyle will be honorable and blessed by God. When they walk up and begin to talk to you, they won't get the last nasty thing that happened to you. They'll actually get the love, and like Sister Phyllis said, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. They'll actually get the love of God coming out of you. It's like right now today, this thing that I was just dealing with in this last hour here, I'm like, you know, makes you want to go pound a preacher. Why? Because of the wickedness of his heart and what he's doing. A wicked heart as a preacher, pastoring a church, leading a flock of 150 people, whatever. Just perversity. Just absolute perversity. If they will glorify God in the day of visitation, they will literally. Well, let's look at that. You are to God the fragrance of him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The fragrance of those who are perishing. Because everywhere we go, we're supposed to be an example of who God is. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 2, look at this verse. Second Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Always leads us in triumph. In Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. But if you look like the world, you act like the world, you talk like the world, you think like the world, when they walk up and see themselves on you, what about you would cause them to want to change to be like Jesus? And see, that's these two clouds. Our cloud is bright. It's glory. And when we walk up, the glory of God should be on us, and people should be able to see Jesus in our lives. They should be able to feel faith, hope, and love. But when they walk up and they get a picture of themselves, they're not going to want to have what you have, because what you're showing them you have isn't desirable in any sense of the word. Because they already got that. See, we are the fragrance of Christ to those that are being saved. We'll walk up other people and be like, wow, I can tell Jesus is on you. But we're also the fragrance of Christ to those who are our way. Right now in North Dakota, the lilacs are everywhere. Man, is it just beautiful fragrance. And up here, they use the lilac bushes a lot for cover as a windbreak. So there's certain areas, like one guy out here, he's got like a 5-acre parcel of land at his property, and it's surrounded by three rows of lilac bushes all the way around the whole property, all 5 acres. But you drive by there right now, you get the fragrance of those lilacs long before you ever get there, because there's so many of them. Well, guys, that's what our life is supposed to be like when people get near us. Not condemning. Lives of God. Our lives are supposed to be filled with faith and hope and love. And that's what God wants from us. Let's go now to that Luke verse. Luke chapter 19. And we'll read let's read 41, and we'll go all the way down through 48. Luke 19, 41 through 48. Amen. Thanks, Roger. Thanks for making comments over there. Thank you, Audrey, for putting the verses in, Sister Felicia. God bless you. Bless all you on YouTube tonight. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. All of our listeners on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, Blog Talk Radio, if you have a good command of your native language and you would like to, and you can feel God's talking to you about translating for other people that believe like you, and take what we're teaching here and put it in your native language, if you'll text me and email me, whatever it takes to get a hold of me, I want to talk to you, because I want us to take this into the nations. And I believe the Father has given me a revelation of how to make it happen. And it's very simple. And yet, you and I can partner together to take this gospel of faith I'm preaching here right into your nation and transform the people that you know there in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Luke 19, verse 41. Luke 19:41. Now as he drew near the city, he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus told his disciples, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. 43, for days will come when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Why? They were too busy being religious to actually get into the relationship with God. When the temple began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. He was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hearing. We've been speaking the last several days about adding to your faith. You and I, as we walk with God, will add to our faith all of the processes that will draw people. Everybody pause for a minute. I just had to look out the window. I think that was a familiar 350 engine. Watch this. Jesus is going to have you and I add to our faith those things that will draw everyone around us to Jesus. Now let's look at it again. Let's remind ourselves of this again. John 4, 23 and 24. Now watch. John 4, 23 and 24. The hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking for us to build a relationship with him. He's longing for us. I want to add Phyllis's verse she gave us a minute ago. 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody go there. We've been in the book of Peter, and in the book of Peter, we've been learning, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge self-control. What is it that God's showing us in all that? He's showing us exactly how to establish ourselves in him, so that when people walk up to us, they find Jesus in us. We don't have to try to convince them that they want God. They walk up and they see you and me, and they're like, I want what you have. What is it you have? It's filled with life. And then immediately we lead them into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now watch. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 13. And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest thing that you and I have got to make sure we're putting out is the love of God that comes from the relationship with our Father. Think about it. When people walk up to you, Do they receive the love of God, or do they hear about your last bad part of your day? Faith and love is going to fix it all. But what you and I have to do is we got to get a revelation. You know, it's an interesting relationship Sister Leanne and I have, because we're very open like this with each other. And she'll hear me saying something over and over, and then she'll just say, well, this is what you're saying. Wow, I ain't saying that no more. I'll hear something she's saying, then this is what you're saying. No. Why? Because our determination, our desire is that our mouths, our lips will bring glory to God, and that as soon as someone meets us, they meet Jesus that is on the inside of us. Not the last bad thing that happened to you in your day. Romans chapter 5. I'm out of all the destruction of the last day now. Let's talk about faith. Talk about how it comes. And then we're going back to those verses again. Add to your faith. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, what's the process of how am I going to know how to add all those things to my life? If you just walk with God, He will automatically bring all of those things to the surface and help you fix it. God will do that. Now watch. Romans 5, and read verses 15 through 21. Romans 5, 15 through 21. Thank you. Thank you so much for your help, guys. Love you. Thank you for your prayers for Sister Leanne and I. This thing's happening. God's blessing us. The seed we sow is working, and we encourage you, be bold in the Lord. No matter what's going on in your life, use faith, use hope, use love, and sow a seed. Watch God produce an abundant harvest in your life, because this thing is working. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. Say it with me. I received the free gift of God's love. Defense, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one abounded to Jesus. Paul's going to tell us about the free gift and grace in the next six verses. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. Look at this. Here's the verse again. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Amen. I received the free gift of righteousness. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. The reason you and I, hey, amen, bless you, Sunday. Good to see you over there on YouTube. God bless you, man. Thanks for being there and being a part. You're a very valuable member here in the body of Christ. And in the body of YouTube, I love it. Watch this. So verse 17 says, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. You might say, well, Pastor, I've already received that. Yes, you have. And then it says, when we do that, we will reign in life as kings to the one. Reign in life to the one Jesus Christ. Well, the word reign is a term of royalty. It's a term of a kingdom that has a king. You and I, according to Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, have been made kings and priests to our God. So you and I are reigning as kings and priests in this world. Verse 18. Therefore, as by one man's offense, sin came. resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men. I think it's one of the most amazing things that you and I can teach to anybody. Is that when they say, what is it about your life? You seem so happy. You seem so blessed that you and I have the ability to just look at them and say that you, there's a free gift of righteousness. And it's not your goody-goody two-shoes ways of acting. It's not how good you can act and how many things you can do to make you look like the church. It's the fact that you've received the free gift of righteousness. And that free gift of righteousness causes every part of your life to change. Free gift came to all men. 19. As by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's Adam. We've all sinned. So by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Want to say it with me? I have been made righteous by Jesus. Pastor, I thought I had to fast, pray, read my Bible, go to church, memorize verses, pay my tithe, give an offering, send a missionary. You see what all that is, creating this whole group of works. Yes, you'll do all those things and be a Christian. And every one of those things we get established in our life causes us to have greater strength in God. Verse 20, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know tonight is a little different word when you start out talking about the dark cloud and the bright cloud and everything that's going on wrong in the world. I know that has a tendency to say, wait a minute. Did that put a damper on it? It didn't put a damper on it. It just helps us get a reality check of where it's really at. There are some seriously confused people in this world. Some of them are confused on purpose and they want to be. Others, they don't even realize they're there. They've been so deceived and they believe the deception so long they believe that it's actually the gospel of Jesus Christ. And anybody that follows them will go astray. And what's sad is how many religious people are going to be thrown out of the kingdom of heaven because they never knew Jesus. Yeah, that's what it makes you feel like. Yeah. It makes you feel like I can never measure up. That's exactly right, Felicia. Felicia is the pinch hitter tonight because she keeps stepping up and hitting a home run. So watch this. This revelation has just hit me. I'm in 1 Peter or 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. But also for this very reason, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. All right, I'll do that. To virtue, knowledge. All right, I'll do that. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. That's a fun word. I don't like perseverance. Perseverance means it's long and you got to persevere. I want it to be done and quick and now. But maybe that's not the way you are. That's how I am. I want all the horsepower I need to get me there as fast as I can get there. I want it now. Don't worry about that. To perseverance, godliness, verse 7. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Are you going back and committing the first sins you were committing? Don't do it. Get free, be free, stay free, no matter who you see. Watch, keep reading. 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Now, how in the world do we add to our faith virtue? And to virtue, knowledge. Well, let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. What's interesting to me, and I'm just seeing it, but thank God for the revelation. Don't you love revelation that sets you free? Somebody want to just shout hallelujah with me? All you Zoomers, turn your mics on. Let's just give a really big hallelujah. Ready? One, two. I always have to pause. Give everybody a chance to unmute. Ready? Wait, you got a couple more? Couple more.
Come on, Dan.
Ready? Here we go. Let's give a real big hallelujah. One, two, three. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
I flattery will get you smiles. Thank you, Felicia. Now, I've been around a lot of people in my life who wanted to hand you a specific way to act so that you could be like that, and that would give you all the joy and glory that you wanted. But in this last year, God has blessed me with the revelation that all I've got to have and all you got to have, all anybody's got to have, is you've got to be born again. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You got to receive Jesus' righteousness. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you got to get the revelation that Father wants to have a daily one-on-one personal relationship with you. The Father does. Now, what's so liberating about that is I'm going to teach the message, add to your faith, virtue. I can give you 13 definitions of virtue. But do you know how you're going to add to your faith and virtue? You're going to wake up in the morning and the Father's going to say, let's deal with this. And he's going to put his thumb on something. Or on the inside, you'll begin to feel like, I got to not do that anymore. Every time you say something or you act a certain way, you get that check on the inside like, I need to stop doing that. What is going on? But the Father is adding to your faith virtue. How? He sees who you are, what you are, where you are, and when you are it. You don't have to worry about me. I don't have to worry about you. I teach the word of God that he gives me to teach. I lead us where he wants us to be. And then my responsibility is to love all of you and lead you into where God wants you. Hold your place there in Acts. I'm going to go back to Peter for a minute. How many is there? Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So that's eight things. How do I know which one of those eight things you need to have work on in your life? I don't know. And let me just tell you, as a pastor, I've spent many days in the years gone by trying to decipher it in the realm of the Spirit. And what I realized today, I wasn't deciphering. There's some of it God gave me a revelation of, but the majority of the time, you're just being critical. And who needs anybody to be critical of them? You ready? While you're adding to your faith virtue, you need me standing alongside of you saying, go, girl, go. Come on, brother, you can do it. How do I know what you're fighting? That ain't for me to know. God doesn't want your sins to be told to anybody. So don't you be telling them. Because in his book, none of it matters. I know some of the things that you grew up with, some of the things you've done in your life, they don't seem like they're going to drop off ever. Some of the weaknesses and frailties, some of the inferiorities and weaknesses. But I can tell you right now, I've watched all of you grow in each of these different things from one time to another. And as your pastor, I'm saying, get it, man. Get it. You're doing this. Why? Because what God gives me the ability to see is you working it. It's not up to me to tell you which one of them it is. Now, if you come to me and say, Pastor, help me see something I don't see, well, naturally, I'll help you in that area. But it's not for me to make you change in any area. Lead us. Set some standards and guidelines for what we got to do to be in another place, yeah. But I'm never, ever going to come home to your house and say, now, my son, my daughter, it is time for thee to clean thine house. Please show me all your dresser drawers, and I need to see all the shelves in your library. And that's how people get. And that's not my place. My place is to teach you how to walk with God and become one with the Holy Spirit and to build that daily relationship with the Father. Because you know what I know? As you walk close to the Father, all of that stuff will go away. And he will cause you to get rid of all failure, all weakness, all confusion, all fear, all instabilities. And by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, as I teach, you'll see, that's why you take notes, you'll see things in your own life. I got to change that. I ain't never doing that again. But it's not because I said, now tonight, we're going to talk about Sister Phyllis because she's been acting this way.
Working on that.
No, see, that's not our place. Our place is to stand alongside of one another and say, come on, brother, you're making it. You know, you text me or email me or call me and say, Pastor, help me. I got to get through this right here. Well, what's my responsibility to do? Well, you're just sinning. And if you would just get yourself right with God, you would never do that again. See, you have to scrunch your nose up to talk about that like that. You have to get that nasty look on your face because that is not a look of peace from God. Now, God will help you add to your faith virtue. Well, Pastor, what if I don't even know what it is? You will, because he'll say, stop acting like that to them. And you'll be like, I'm sorry. I'm going to go get the communion elements out now, and I'm going to receive communion again. Please forgive me. That was a sin. I shouldn't have acted like that. And you'll go get the communion elements out, and you'll receive them for yourself, all by yourself, and get the blood of Jesus and his broken body. And say, wait a minute, I am not going to act that way another day of my life. What's going on? Father, by the resident teacher, Holy Spirit, is causing you to change. Now, the Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. If you refuse and rebel to change when the Father says change, you will be devoured by the sword. That doesn't have nothing to do with me. I'm your brother. I'm your pastor. I'm going to stand alongside of you and say, come on, we got this. We can do this right now in Jesus' mighty name. I was looking at the Wilkins stuff again today and dealing with it, saying, all right, how are we going to step into this? It's time to move, and these people want to move in. That reminds me of when a doctor says, eat right and get more exercise, but then leaves you to figure out a plan that works with acceptable foods and exercise regimens. Judgment isn't guidance. Yeah, judgment isn't guidance. No. And let's just use that one right there. And you guys all know I'm going to encourage you in your diet. Number one, to listen to Dr. Pradeep. Listen to him tell you how your body works. Don't listen to him for righteousness. Don't go there to learn investments. Listen to this doctor, a cardiologist, to hear how the body functions and works. And then learn to make it work. Sister Kathy was sharing with us she was fasting a couple of weeks ago, and I told her I was fasting, and I couldn't seem to fast for an hour. It's like, what's my problem? But I did just make it, Kathy, and I want to encourage you. I made it. I made it the whole 24 hours. Thank God for that. Why? Gave my digestive system a break. I didn't put any food in it. Eats down that fat. And check it out. After this morning saying I've not stepped on the scales, I went and got on the scales. And I haven't gained a pound. Glory be to God. After all that time at Francetta's, and she fed us like she did, I still haven't gained a pound to come back and get it right, and God's helping me do that. But I'm going to tell you, my place in your life is to stand alongside of you and encourage you to make it. Maybe you've beat all the sins, and your place in God right now is you got to take that next mountain. You've told it to move from the right. You've told it to move from the left. You've told it on the east, the west, the north, the south. You've commanded it to move. You've laid hands on it to move. You dumped a bucket of oil on it to get it to move, and it doesn't seem to move yet. You don't look at the mountain and say, well, I was just wrong for doing that, trying to move that mountain. You open up this book and say, all right, what am I adding to my life right now, Father? Help me see what it is I need to add. Is it virtue? Is it more knowledge? Because knowledge is an answer. But I got to learn self-control. Are you making me, am I learning perseverance? Maybe I've got to learn brotherly kindness right now. I want to thump somebody in the head. Hey, Francetta made it. Bless you. It's good to see you, man. Three cheers for Francetta. Hip, hip. Hooray. Hip, hip. Hooray. Hip, hip. Hooray. Watch this. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, well, see, that abounding is going to come because you're daily walking with the Father and you're listening to his words. You know, one of the coolest things that God revealed to me is how the church works. And the glory of the body of Christ. And when I first started going to Dr. Barclay's, man, that place was just an amazing haven. And people, I'd walk in the building and people say, hey, man of God, how you doing? I'm like, wow, that guy just called me a man of God. Does he know what I'm fighting today? And he didn't know. But to him, it didn't matter. As my brother, he's to stand alongside of me, strengthen me so I can get this thing done. And those people stood me up immediately and caused me to stand strong in the Lord and to use great courage and boldness. See, Peter says, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. And he said, be diligent to make your calling and your election, sure. Wait, be diligent to walk in that relationship with the Father every day. Sometimes Father says, do this, 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 do this. And you're like, how long am I on this one, Father? And he's like, until you get it. But wait, he's a good Father. He's never going to do anything destructive to you. He's trying to help you get that fragrance of Christ on you. So when you walk up to a situation, people look at you like, man, you got Jesus on you. You got God on you. How do I know God like you? Why? Because you've got that fragrance. Let's look at that verse again. I might not get to Acts, but that's all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 14. 2:14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. My goodness, where did the time go? He always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Well, guys, if you are not in any way, you and I must continually, every day, be the fragrance of Christ. That means when the world walks up, they can tell Jesus is on us. When the world walks up, they know, wow, this person has been with God. When the world walks up, you can be like, I got what you need. And they'll come to you and say, you got what I need. But if we're acting like the world, if we're being like the world, if we're living like the world, then we are not going to be that fragrance of Christ when the world walks up to us. And that's the amazing thing about the kingdom of God. That's the amazing thing. God is going to continually Let me say it right, because it's the message we're teaching. The Father is going to continually cause you and I to add to our faith, and then whatever that next word is, it's going to be different in your life and mine. And my place is to stand with you, and your place is to stand with me. Let's look at you and I as pastor and sheep. Let's look at us as the fivefold and the body. Naturally, God is going to be telling me things that is huge compared to what you might be seeing. But it's not that I'm wrong for seeing it. He's showing me a picture of where we're going. He's showing you a picture of where you're going. My place is to get my faith with you. Your place, get your faith with me. Our place is to stand in faith together and conquer every piece of territory God's given us to do. Bless you, Sunday. We love you. Watch. What has been so life-transforming about these verses in 2 Peter to me is all of a sudden I'm realizing, well, I guess I've been realizing it for 30 years, but the revelation is deep enough inside of my life now that that I'm living it. And that is, it doesn't matter where you are. My place is to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, stand alongside of you, encourage you, establish you, strengthen you, believe in you, and speak the word of God. Why? Because God is leading me to places right now that I've got to take. And what do I need? I need you, the body here, to stand alongside of me and say, let's go, Pastor. Let's get it. Let's get it done. And then what happens? You and I together become this amazing force in God. And what happens? You win and I win. And when you win and I win, we win. And when the ministry wins, we bless the lives of thousands of people all over the world. I think we're up to 44 nations now. I got to go through and count them again. Got to add more to the list on our confession. Well, Pastor, how in the world are you getting there? I don't even know. I'm not done it. I've done zero advertisement. It's God taking this message up there. And then last week, he showed me how we can do this translation into native languages. And he actually showed me a couple of people. I've started a letter to them to invite them to come and be a part and help me do this work so that we can be a blessing to these people around the world and these other nations. What an opportunity to bless all these nations around the world so that faith that you and I have, the understanding we have, we can take right in there and establish them in their nation, wherever it is. And check this out, and learn from their faith. I'm so amazed. I heard somebody telling the story again the other day of Oyedepo in South Africa, or in Kenya, wherever he is, Nigeria. I don't know where he is. I better find out where he is. Somebody look it up. Where's Oyedepo from? David Oyedepo. But he's building a sanctuary right now that'll seat 100,000 people. Amen, Dan. That many nations. Hi. And we lift you up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now watch this. He's building a sanctuary that seats 100,000 people right now. And you might say, I wouldn't even want to be in a church of 100,000, except if you go to that church and you feel the faith and you see what God's doing. Watch this. Watch this. It's paid for cash in the bank before they ever started building. The whole project was paid for. No American dollars. And it cost $275 million to build this sanctuary. And they have it in the bank cash before they ever got started. Why are you saying this, Beth? Because that inspires my faith to say, wait a minute. Somebody on this earth has built a strong enough relationship with the Father that he can say, go and do this. And when they do, God blesses them in this manner. What's our responsibility to do with the Oyedepo? Well, probably nothing, because he built it. He's doing it with Nigerian money, wherever he's from. What's our place? God bless the body of Christ around the world. What can we learn from them as we build this relationship in Jesus' mighty name? Add to your faith virtue. And I think the greatest statement that we got to make, what's the title for tonight? Anybody remember? Add to your faith the daily walk with God your Father. Oh, yeah, let's grab this verse. Let's grab these two verses. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. No matter what churchianity or religiosity has ever taught you, in order to please God, you have to have faith. Well, Pastor, I don't even know what it is. That's why the number one message we teach here is faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells you what faith is. He that comes to God must believe he God is, and he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. It's what our whole year is about this year. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. I know we come from denominations that don't believe in the reward or the blessing of God, but walk away from that. Walk away from it. Get rid of that mentality in your life. Our Father rewards those who diligently seek him. That's what faith is. Now, let's do this verse. John 5:19-20. Jesus answered and said to them. John 5:19-20. Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he, the Father, does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. So what do we have to do? All right, this is my last verse. I think I said that now, what, five times, Phyllis? Has it been the last verse now three times?
I wasn't counting, honey. Keep it going.
Wait. And see, Phyllis, I knew that's what you was going to say. So that's why I ask you. Thank you, Roger. Love you guys. John chapter 17. John 17. I love these verses. There goes the sunset again.
You can read the whole thing. You know, the whole chapter is a one fantastic prayer. I love to know that Jesus thinks of me that highly. He loves me that much. whole chapter.
The whole chapter. The whole chapter. And here's the thing. You and I, our greatest revelation that anybody will ever learn about us is that we know, we have come to the knowledge of, I get to be one with the Father like Jesus. And you might say, Pastor, I'm not one with the Father like Jesus yet. Okay. Guess what? It's tonight's message. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and then you will be one like God the Father. You will be one with him. So I'm not going to read all the whole chapter, but let's read from chapter verse 6. I do have a time limit here, Phyllis. Watch what Jesus says to the disciples then and to you and me now. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of this world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. Look, and see this revelation, guys. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. That's such an important part of it. You've got to receive those words. Now, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. You and I, just say it. I'm going to go to preaching. I'm not doing it. Just say it. I receive the word of God. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Look at this statement. Keep through your name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are one. I get to be one with the Father just like Jesus. I love it. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept. None of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I get Jesus' joy. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Jesus didn't pray for us to be taken out of the world, but to be kept from the world. They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. Set apart, make holy, make separate, make other. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And here's the revelation. When you and I add to our faith all of those characteristics, that is God's sanctifying power taking place in our life. Thank you, Lord, for it. Verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. Want to type it in with me? I believe through the word. I believe through the word of God. I believe. I truly believe. 21, that they all may be one. You, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you love me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Our greatest thing, guys, is that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking those. He's seeking you and me right now that we would worship him in spirit and in truth. And what does that mean? Walk around with your hands folded, la, 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 all day long? No. No, it means you live a life of walking with God every day. And you learn how to have that close relationship with the Father, because he's going to get you past every weakness of your flesh, every failure of your past, every attack of the enemy on your life, and he's going to walk you through the middle of it. And you're going to come out unscathed. And you'll maintain your righteousness. You'll maintain your holiness. You'll maintain your walk with God. And you'll be a part of the kingdom of God that never fails on this earth. Never. Name. Let's pray. And if you have a question, feel free to ask it. We'll deal with it in just a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, what an amazingly powerful, simple, life-transforming verse and mentality and revelation you've given us here. Lord, like the Apostle Paul said, that I might know you. And like you said, Jesus, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in the spirit and in truth. Lord, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. And we thank you for this relationship. Father, matter of fact, I'm going to speak it bold. I'm going to prophesy. I declare right now in the mighty name of Jesus that in every one of your lives, you draw closer and you become more filled with his spirit, his presence, his word. The revelation of Almighty God comes to you. Your soil is good soil that produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that you see your place here helping us do the work of the ministry, transforming everybody's life that comes here. I declare it right now in Jesus' name. I declare your children follow your example of righteousness and holiness. I declare that every one of us will be established in the things of God. And faith, Jesus, if he were to come into our home, would say, you have great faith. That's what we want you to say to us. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, Bless every one of these people. It's so liberating, Father, that it's not up to me to help to make them righteous. It's up to me to help them learn to walk with you, and you will automatically cause them to become what is written on that book in heaven that is their name, that you wrote in the book the moment they were conceived. Thank you for it. Thank you that you're not hiding it. Thank you that you're not keeping it from us. You want us to know. You long for us to know the truths of the kingdom of God's holy word. And you're revealing it to us every single day. In Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful, holy name. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Well, here we go. Let's receive communion together. No matter where you've been today, no matter the effects of this world on your life, it's always amazing. It's always, I love this about what God told us to do, that he told us to receive communion in every one of our programs. What a blessing that is. Give me just a second. I love to watch the beautiful sunset happen here in North Dakota. And for all of you that's here receiving communion with us, I want to invite you all to come and be a part of an awesome meeting here in North Dakota. We'll talk about that when we're finished here in a few minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hey, Kathy Sadati's with us. Welcome, Kathy. Love you. Angel Collier's with us here. Wow. Brother Dan's with us. If I didn't see you with us, I call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. It's very interesting. I see a few comments here, and then I look at my phone, and it's like, there's a whole bunch of them all of a sudden. So we welcome you. Back to the verses. We take communion in every service, get you some bread and water, bread and grape juice, and make sure you come and receive it with us every night. We're now in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 25. In the same manner, after supper, he also took up, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. First John chapter 4, verse 17. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's pretty cool. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. Because there is no fear in love. We bind the trauma that has happened in your life right now by the manifest presence of Almighty God that's in my life and flowing through me right now. I bind trauma in your life. I bind religious trauma in your life. I bind the confusion and the ways of the enemy from your life. I bind divorce. I bind death. I bind the trauma that comes into our life normally. And I say, be free from trauma. Be healed, healthy, and made whole in your body in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Pastor, I didn't know that was in communion. That was in a gift of the Spirit that I needed to speak over trauma right then, because some of you are still dealing with it, and it's affecting your Christian life. Trauma with a mean dad or angry mom, trauma with religious indoctrination, trauma comes from abuse, or maybe you was in a bad accident or something, you had a head injury or something. We just dealt with that. The Spirit of God was flowing through me as I said that. And if that was you and I spoke it, then you reach out and receive it right now so that you can be free in Jesus' mighty name. Maybe you weren't the abused. Maybe you were the abuser. Bind that trauma that you caused on other people's lives. It's not just a man. Men and women cause trauma to each other. Moms and dads cause trauma to their children. And some children cause trauma to their parents. Anyways, in Jesus' mighty name, you're free. Now, verse 28 says, let a man examine himself and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So that's the process. All through the Word of God, God very specifically says that you and I are to accept willingly and freely his free gift of righteousness that he has given to us. And that's what this is all about. If you've never been born again, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never become a Christian, never be a believer, if you never received the blessing of God, there's got so many terminologies for it that people could use many different terminologies. We're going to pray this prayer right now. And we want you to pray the prayer with me. Bless you, Felicia. Love you. Here we go. Everybody pray the prayer. Those of you that's with us online on Zoom, make sure you unmute your mic and pray with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life. And I will not perish. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, you say. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life every day. All of your love.
All of your love.
All of your mercy.
All of your
grace. All of your righteousness. Filling every part of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the Word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen.
Amen and amen and amen.
If that was the first time you prayed that prayer with us, welcome to the family of God. If you've prayed that prayer with us many times, welcome to the family of God. On the inside, you might be saying, ah, what's going on the inside of me? I'm experiencing something. Yes, you just welcomed Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, on the inside of you, and he filled you with faith. You just offered Jesus the light of the world on the inside, and his light is driving out all that darkness. I can tell somebody's on your couch, right? I can see somebody on their couch weeping right now. You're crying because you've been close to God and you've allowed yourself to accept the things that's from the world, but you can feel that washing going on. Just receive it. Receive it. Right now, I can tell somebody, it's happening right now while we're talking. And you just receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus just filled you with all of his love, mercy, grace, and righteousness. Well, when he fills you like that, then there's no room for any of the rest of it. You might say, yeah, but Pastor, why would any of that still stay around in my life? It stays around because you got to get this mind renewed and these lips to stop talking what you lived in your old life and start talking what Jesus is doing actively in you right now, transforming you into a new being. Now, he just made you a brand new creation and adopted you into his family. You're going to spend the rest of the days here on this earth before he returns to receive us in the rapture of the church. Getting your mind focused on this word so that you will have your mind renewed to the things of God. Now, watch this. It's a simple life. It's exactly what I preached all night long. We had an abundance of warning at the beginning. Thank God for warnings. But the reality is, it's all about a relationship with God. And if you and I will build that relationship every day, the Father is inside of you. He made you his temple right now. And he will lead you from the inside out. He will help you in Jesus' mighty name. My email address and website's right down there in the notes of Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, so that you have the ability to contact us and say, Pastor, I want to learn everything I can learn. Got a bunch of playlists of specific teachings. You can go to the website and see them there. You can go to our YouTube page. Every message we've ever preached is still on YouTube. It's still available for you. And there's, you know, people come and go. You'll hear different people voices and different people saying things, but it's all the same faith. It's all the same God. It's all the same word. And you will be established and strengthened as you hear other people ask questions that will help you know who our God is. And we will help you walk with God in Jesus' mighty name. Those of you that's just been born again, your first act in your Christian life is to receive communion with us right now. How awesome is that? So, get the Zoomers to all unmute your phones and let's all pray together so that everybody can see just how big a crowd we got. I like it because it sounds like church. One, two, three, four. Some of you still got your, there you go. There we go. It's getting it. You ready? Here we go. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements. For this time of communion with you, Lord. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. And I thank you. You were bruised for my iniquity. And I thank you. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotions. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying. In my body. From your broken body, Jesus. In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. It's done. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. To think that this is how light and easy it is. Here we go. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with the Father.
I have reconciliation with the Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am new creation. Old things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
And I thank you for it, Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus
and the word of my testimony. I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
Not be on me or my family.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' name.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Wrinkle or any other blemish. When you come for me.
When you come for me, in Jesus',
in Jesus
mighty,
mighty
name,
name.
In Jesus' mighty name, let's receive his bloodshed tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, let's sing one of our favorite songs we sing. Let's sing, oh, how I love Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. It's worth it sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. Oh, how I love love you, Jesus, because you first love me. Somebody shout or something.
I love the word. I love the song.
I love the word. I love the song. I love the communion.
We ought to sing that song, you know, about being a sanctuary, because here we say, you know, we're the temple of the Lord and all that. And we never sing that song.
Well, I try to put it in our worship every afternoon about two or three times a week.
The sanctuary song?
Yeah.
Is that what you call it?
I don't know what you call it. What do you call it? What's the title of it, Phyllis?
Oh. There
Lord, prepare me, yeah.
Sanctuary.
Sing it.
Pure and holy, tried and true.
With thanksgiving,
I'll be a living
sanctuary.
For
beautiful song.
We have a couple of verses to it, but I probably wouldn't get them right with English.
You know, I've tried to find those verses, Phyllis. So if you know them, are you anybody? If you find those verses to that song, not just
well,
the chorus.
He sings it a lot, so I'll get him to sing it on Marco Polo, and maybe send it to you on the whatever.
All right.
Google it. I Google everything.
Well, I just so you know, I've Googled it. But everybody wants to just sing the chorus of it, not the verses. And the reality is, I heard the verses once, and I was so impressed by them. I thought, why does nobody ever sing this?
I like this song.
But I don't know. Everybody likes chorus, so that's what they end up singing. But
I don't think I could get the tune very, very good. It's
yeah.
It is you, Lord, who came to save the heart and soul of every man. And it is you, Lord. Anyway, I can come up with the words, but it would be better if he could sing it for you, and that way you could get the tune.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you found the verses of it, then send it to me, please. Because I like that song, but this is the reality. I've only heard the chorus because I couldn't even tell you what the melody of the verse is. If you sent me the words, I wouldn't know what they are, how to sing it yet. But anyways, for any of you that's just crazy about traveling, I just saw for the first time today, Brother Copeland is going to have a North Dakota Believers Convention. So if you're crazy about some crazy faith folks, that's on June the 9th, 10th, and 11th. That's Thursday night, Friday all day, and Saturday all day. And that's going to be in Fargo, North Dakota. And if you're crazy about traveling, you can catch the Amtrak there and catch a bus there, catch the car there, the truck there. Ask Brother Dan to drop you off as he drives by in his semi.
Coach Williamson is going to be in Grand Rapids this weekend.
Who
Michigan.
Is? Who's that?
Joyce Myers.
Joyce Myers. God bless Joyce. What a preaching machine she's been through the years. My. Well, anyways, I you know how you guys it is. I keep trying to get you all to come see us in North Dakota, so. That'd be a really good thing to come to North Dakota and be a part of. And in actuality, I've never been to a Believers Convention before except online. So this is going to be my first one, but we're going to be there. And
I'll be speaking soon.
Yes, you will. I was trying to twist your arm to get you to come a little earlier.
Roger's going on the 16th.
Yep. Well, all right, guys. Now, Phyllis, we need the closing verse, and then I'm going to give us the verse from our confession. So go ahead, Phyllis.
touching with my Bible on the other side of the room.
Well,
But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. But others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Father, who alone is wise in glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. And now? Say this one with me. I sow my time, talent, and treasure into the kingdom today. Mark 10, 28 through 30. Peter said to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. Jesus answered and says, assuredly, I say to you, everyone who leaves house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, you shall receive a hundredfold return now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and income and salary with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. I'll say this last line boldly. I receive the hundredfold return of all my life and energy that is laid up in harvest form in heaven. I put it to work on earth to preach the gospel and save lives around the world in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And amen, and amen, and amen. So, guys, that's it. Thanks for being here and being a part. Did anybody? Let's do this. Blog Talk Radio, we love you, all of you around the world and all the different nations. We don't even know how you found us, but we're sure glad you're here. And we would love to have communication from you and be a blessing to you in any way that we can.
Can't see you, Sam.
If I can in any way enlist you to be a translator to your region, your community, your nation, I would encourage you to please get in contact with me. If you have a good grasp on the language of your native land, I want you to talk to me and see how we can get together and truly, truly teach this word of faith right there in your region. In Jesus' mighty name, till we see you again, this is what we say. Everybody say it. We love you. And God loves you. And
Jesus is Lord.